The reading today is on page 831 in the Pew Bibles. It is Luke 1, verses 67 to 79. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace."
Let me pray with you and we'll have a look at this scripture together. Lord, I'm praying with these others gathered here now. And Lord, would you shine light on our hearts? Lord, without your light, we're in darkness. So bring the light of your word and your spirit to our lives, we pray, Lord. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Around the time when Jesus was born, Zechariah was a priest, and his wife Elizabeth and himself were really very sad because they could not have a baby, and they'd prayed and they'd longed for a baby, and they felt the disgrace of not being able to have a child, and they were very old. One day when it was Zechariah's turn to go into the temple to burn incense, he goes in and amazingly an angel appears to him. I've never had an angel appear to me, but I do believe in angels, and this angel appeared to Zechariah as he is burning incense in the temple, and he was gripped with fear. And the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife is going to bear a son. You shall name him John, and many will rejoice in his birth. He will be a delight to you. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth, and he's got a job to do. He will bring many back to the Lord, many whose hearts and lives has wandered away from the Lord. This son of yours, Zechariah, will turn many hearts back to him. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah." He will go before the Lord. In other words, God will, as it were, be coming after him, and he's going to go ahead of the Lord. He's going to prepare a people for the Lord. Zechariah, thinking about how old his wife was and how many times they'd tried to have a baby, didn't believe the angel. And the angel said to Gabriel, said to Zechariah, he said, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. And because you haven't believed, Zechariah, you won't be able to speak until what I've said happens and what I've said has been fulfilled." And when it came, and Zechariah goes home, and his wife, Elizabeth, conceives. And when it comes time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard about it, they rejoiced and they shared her joy. when it was the baby, John, this baby yet to be named, was 8 days old, they were about to name him Zechariah. But the mother spoke up and said, no, his name will be John. And they were shocked. And they said, you got no relatives that are called by that name. And so they signaled to his father. And the father made signs, Zechariah made signs, and said, give me a writing tablet. So they gave him a writing tablet. And he wrote, his name will be John. And as soon as he wrote that, it says, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was set free and he began praising God. And all his neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country and all Judea, everyone was saying, what will this child be? Everyone was talking, what then is this child going to be? This praise that was set loose out of Zechariah's mouth when he began to speak is what Kathy has read for us this morning. It is breaking the silence of Zechariah, who had been struck dumb for 9 months or more and he wasn't able to speak. But it's also breaking another silence in a sense, because did you know that basically for 400 years there had been no prophets? Before that, God had sent Isaiah or Jeremiah or Amos or Haggai and many, many prophets. But for 400 years there had been silence, and now God is breaking his silence. And so this song, this psalm that Zechariah speaks when his mouth is loosed is breaking the silence in many ways. And so I'd like to think with you about, first of all, about Zechariah's praise of God's salvation in the first half, and then I'd like to think with you, secondly, about what God, how God plans to bring in this salvation. It says in verse 67 that his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, and he said, praise to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. Zechariah, it says there in that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So that means that the words that he was saying were words breathed by the Spirit of God. And he was bursting with praise. He was overflowing with praise. Do you know, maybe you or I or someone else, if you had been not able to speak, if you'd been struck dumb and your mouth could not work for 9 months or more, when you began to speak, maybe there would be something other than praise. Maybe you were angry that this had happened to you, and that, well, it was only a little mistake that I just said, questioned the angel, and now, and maybe you'd be angry, but not Zechariah. Zechariah is bursting, overflowing with praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come. He's come. This is like an awakening for Zechariah, it seems. It's like this old priest had been traveling through his life, and like many of you and me, there can be disappointments through life. And Zechariah had known his own disappointments in life. No baby, the disgrace. But he was faithful and he continued to have faith in God. And the fact the scriptures say that he was blameless. And so here he traveled through life with carrying disappointments and pain and hardship, but trusting God. But now, at this moment, his mouth is filled with praise. And the truth was bursting out. No longer was it a ho-hum faith. You know how we can have a ho-hum faith? Well, yes, I believe it. And yes, I'm sure it's true. But I just sort of walk through my life and barely get through. And we can be devoid of any praise. I know that in my own life. And here Zechariah's mouth is unleashed, and he declares the goodness and the praise of God. And that phrase there, because he has come. In some translations it says, because God has visited us. He visited us. And it's a theme in Luke that God sometimes visits. Do you know, if you get a phone call from someone, that's one thing. But when they turn up on your doorstep and they visit you, that's a different thing. And it's as though Zechariah is saying, God has visited. He's come. He's right at our doorstep. And he's thinking, my wife and I in our old age, an angel appearing in great power, and now God has turned up. He's here. All the ancient promises, the promises like made to Abraham and the covenant that was made to Abraham and that was all waiting to be fulfilled. We've been waiting for so long and we've been so discouraged at times and crushed by our enemies at times. But now, God has visited his people and he's come to redeem them, which takes us back to the whole picture of what God did in the Exodus, in redeeming his people at great expense and pulling them out of darkness. It becomes clear that Zechariah is not just talking about his own son, because do you remember that Mary went to visit Elizabeth? Zechariah and Elizabeth know very well that Mary too is pregnant and there's one coming. And it becomes very clear that in this song of praise, Zechariah is not just talking about his son John that was being born, but he's talking about all that God was accomplishing at this time. That God was going to bring salvation. God is going to redeem his people. It's almost as though, just like when, do you remember when John the Baptist grew up? He had one job to do, basically. When this baby, John, was born, he had one job to do when he grew up, and that was to point to Christ. I don't know whether you remember that Jesus says of John the Baptist, among women there was no one greater than John the Baptist. That's a big statement up till that point. And I think, well, why would Jesus say that about the John? Is he greater than Isaiah? Is he greater than Jeremiah? Well, Jesus says yes. And reason is, why would that be? And this is my thinking. The reason that John the Baptist is thought as the greatest in Jesus' mind of all the prophets is because all the other prophets pointed dimly to the coming of the Messiah. But John the Baptist had the privilege of saying, there he is. There he is, right there. Behold the Lamb of God. So John the Baptist, more accurately than any other prophet before him, was able to point to God's Son, the Messiah. And just like John the Baptist was the one who was to point to Christ, so here his dad, even in this psalm and in this song, his dad is pointing, Zechariah is pointing to Jesus as well. It says in verse 69, he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And this is how we know that he is speaking about Jesus. Because Joseph was in the line of David, and that they went to Bethlehem in the city of David for this child to be born that wasn't yet born. But Zechariah is saying he's raised up a horn of salvation. Do you know that word horn refers to strength? I've got a photo here. See that horn there? they, in the, if you have to think of something in our day called of strength, maybe you would think of a bulldozer. Well, here's a bull. And why is a bulldozer called a bulldozer? I tell you why. Because the strongest thing that anyone ever knew, the strongest thing that anyone ever knew in that time was a bull. You know, if that thing just moves its head like that, it's kind of, you cannot stop it. And so when it's talking about a horn of salvation, it's saying God has raised up an invincible power to bring salvation to the earth. And it's a really remarkable thing, because think of the faith of Zechariah. Think of the faith of Zechariah. Because here's a little baby kicking on 8 days old and is not strong at all. And the one that he's referring to here hasn't even been born yet. But Zechariah's faith, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and his faith is so strong that he's saying, there is coming. God, it's invincible power. God is raising up the horn of salvation. And in fact, he speaks of it in the past tense as though it's a job done. It cannot be reversed. It's going to be accomplished. Zechariah's faith. He talks about salvation from our enemies. You know, Israel had experienced great crushing in the time of Egypt. Great enemies wanted to crush them. And in their history, various enemies, whether it be the Philistines or others, had come to want to crush them. But Zechariah is saying, with tremendous faith, that God is bringing salvation for anyone that would want to crush his people. God now is bringing a beautiful salvation. And we know, as the New Testament unfolds, that the enemy that God defeats when he sends Christ on that very first Christmas is an enemy far greater than anyone thought could ever be conquered, and that is the enemy of sin in the world. It's an enemy that all you need to do is walk down the streets of Wagga. All you need to do is look in our newspaper, and you will see that there is a darkness, a dark enemy that's crushing our world. And what God is doing in Christ is bringing a horn of salvation that is magnificent and strong and invincible. And that's what Zechariah is declaring and praising. The second half of Zechariah's song is that he talks about how God will bring the salvation. He says in verse 76, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him." So he's speaking now to his own son. He's speaking now to John. And Zechariah, well, you say, Zechariah, what are you doing? I mean, this little baby cannot understand what you're saying. But you see, this is a prophecy. This is Zechariah filled with the Holy Spirit and declaring what will be, what will become, what will be the job of this little baby. And he says, you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, number one. And number two, you'll go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. You know, John did become a prophet of the Most High. It was a high, high calling. Do you remember he went out into the wilderness as a voice? As a voice. And it says the whole nation went out to that man. And he was baptizing them in the Jordan. The whole nation goes out to him. And his message comes with the force of electric shock to the people. It was like the whole nation was awakened. And he was also to go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him. If you were sent, and this is your job, the king is coming, and I want you to prepare the way for him. Then what you would do is you'd grab a team of people together and you would get your earth-moving equipment and you would make a road for the king. to get to the city where the king is traveling to. You've got to go ahead and prepare the way for the king. And John the Baptist's job is that. He's preparing a way for the king to come. But the road that he's making is a road in the hearts of men and women. It's because our hearts were so hard and so many obstacles in our hearts for Christ. So it's almost like he's plowing up these hearts of many people and bringing them to repentance. It's a baptism of repentance, and he's preaching this message of repentance so that hearts would be softened, so that it's almost like they would be plowed up. You'd plow up the ground, and so that the seed of Christ, when Christ comes, would come. And that's John's job, to go ahead, to prepare a way for God. Zechariah prophesies, and he speaks of the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. I love that image of the rising sun. I love the dawn. I love the rising sun. The darkness has been long, and then the dawn is coming. I don't know whether you've ever been in a situation where you've longed for the dawn to come. Some people here, I think, have had the experience where there's been a great, when you've been at night time and there's been terrible danger, and even maybe danger in your own home, and it feels like the power of evil that you feel frightened about has got extra power because of the darkness, and you're longing for the dawn to come. You're longing for the rays of light to rise. And in a similar way, God describes this world as a world that is covered in darkness. Some people see this world as sort of a Disneyland, but the way God sees it is that this is a world where there is darkness. And the darkness of evil and of sin and of death. And here Zechariah says, the rising of the sun will come from heaven. And it's like, you know, when the sun comes up, there is nothing you can do to stop those beams of light piercing the darkness. No, it's an invincible light that comes and brings light to everything and reveals all that has been hidden all the night. And here Zechariah says, the sun will come from heaven. It's a heavenly light. And when Christ comes, do you know what he says? He says, I am the light of the world. He declares himself as the bright dawning of light. Centuries of darkness, centuries of people stumbling around in sin. And he actually says here, to shine on those living in darkness. God knows that many, 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 way too many in this world live in darkness and in the shadow of death, where death just reigns. Death just does its thing. And this light is going to come and bring an invincible hope. And it's the light of Christ, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. And that is to have a peaceful life. Not to have a life that's full of anxiety, full of disappointment, full of fear and trepidation, but a life of peace and a life of hope. Many, many times, I pray and I say, Lord, would you please bring light, bring a dawn to our city, to the city of Wagga. It's a genuine prayer of mine. I long for that. I long for it in my own heart, for the beauty and the brightness of who Christ is to rise in my heart. But I long for it for our city as well and for beyond, that many would see the beauty of Christ and bow down and receive Him, a light that is brings life and an invincible power. Just before we finish, so that is Zechariah's song. But before we finish, I just wanted to check in with you. Because for Zechariah, this was a very, very personal thing. It wasn't just a theory where someone was preaching at him from a stage. It was a very, very personal thing. He was bursting with joy because that which he thought was impossible had come to pass. And so I'm just wanting to talk about to you very personally as well. I wanted to check in with you. Have you experienced the dawning of the light in your soul? Because it's so easy as an unbeliever that you've sort of got no idea what this dawning of the light could be. But even for believers, we can get so tangled up in the shadows and in this world that the brightness of who God is doesn't shine with its unique beauty in our hearts. I think of Zechariah, and he was a changed man because of the reality of what he was seeing unfolding before him. And it showed in his lips. What was in his heart, praise coming out of his lips, all the goodness and the greatness of God. And that's how you know what God's done in your heart, is when you see what's coming out of your lips. And so powerful was this understanding in Zechariah that he was filled with praise of God. And this same salvation that Zechariah speaks about and spoke about all these years ago is a salvation for us today. Do you remember what it says in Romans 1:16? Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. It's the horn of salvation. It's the power of God for salvation. The gospel, you remember that horn? It's like the gospel is the power that can come to your soul and bring you salvation out of darkness, out of death. No longer does sin have to be dominion over you. And so you're just stumbling around with chains on your legs and you're just scraping yourself through this life. Brothers and sisters, I know what it's like to get down, get discouraged. Oh, yes, I do. But I'm just saying to you, that this salvation that is revealed to us, to reveal to Zechariah, his faith was a remarkable faith because all he had in front of him was a little tiny baby, but he was certain and he was full of praise that it was going to come to pass. And we need to have a similar level of faith in God's word that he is going to come back. Yes, he will. And all his angels with him. And he'll put everything right. And he'll accomplish all his purposes and plans. We need to have the same sort of faith that Zechariah had. And if we do, my heart will lift and so will yours. Courageous in the face of difficulty and hardship. There will be for us, instead of darkness covering us, but a light will shine in our hearts. And hope in the face of every kind of hardship. Many of you have had disappointments. In fact, I reckon there would be barely a hand that would go up in this room that does not know of suffering and disappointments in this world. Zechariah too. But his faith in God's word shone with such brightness and joy that he overflowed with praise. And so at this Christmas time, we too can say, Lord, the dawning of your light in Christ, in the birth of your Son, would you make it, it's a beautiful time for us to look again at the light of Christ. Do you know the star rose in the east and the Magi said, there's the light, I'm going to follow the light. And the Magi were following the light until it came over where the child was. And for us too, we need to look again and say, Lord, would this reality of who you are, what you've done in Christ, break into our hearts that we might live with joy and have the same joy of Zechariah. Let me pray with you. Father, I'm praying with these gathered here. I'm praying for myself and for us all. Would there be, Lord, not a kind of shadowy, grey darkness that characterises our life, but would the brightness of the gospel of Christ and the power of that gospel, that horn of salvation of the gospel, would it please, Lord, have its appointed effect in our hearts? So just as Zechariah was awakened from his half-heartedness, Lord, awaken me too, please, Lord. Awaken us as your church. Awaken your church all over Australia. Awaken us, Lord, that we too would know what it is to have words of praise of you flowing from our lips. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen.